You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Transgender Idahoans have come under fire at the state capitol this year, and in particular, transgender athletes. The House has approved a bill banning transgender girls and women from competing on teams with which they identify. It's currently awaiting action in the Senate. But as James Dawson reports, the move comes after years of sporting organizations growing more accepting of trans athletes.
This is a debate that's been going on for a long time.
Is she male or is she female?
She is a transsexual. 2 years ago, she was Dr. Richard Raskin and was ranked nationally among the top 20 male tennis players over age 35.
That's a clip from an ESPN documentary following the life of Renee Richards, a tennis player who successfully sued for the right to compete in the U.S. Open as a transgender woman in 1977. She didn't get past the first round. Over the next 40-some years, the overseers of elite sports, like the International Olympic Committee, have drafted and revised their policies on transgender athletes, eventually making them more inclusive. A bill that would ban trans girls and women from competing on sports teams that align with their gender identity has sparked multiple protests in Idaho. It also brought Chris Mosier, the first transgender athlete to qualify for an Olympic trial, to Boise.
This is not just about transgender athletes. This is the gateway to creating more discrimination, more discriminative policies against trans people.
At the heart of the issue is a divide between the values of inclusion and fairness. When Idaho State Representative Barbara Ehart was growing up, she was told girls don't play sports. The former collegiate basketball coach turned lawmaker says she wants to keep the spirit of Title IX, the federal law that requires equal educational opportunities, intact. That's why she introduced a bill to keep those who she calls, quote, biological males out of female sports.
Forcing girls and women to compete against biological boys and men has often made us spectators in our own sport.
Ehart initially agreed to an interview with Boise State Public Radio, but didn't respond to further attempts to speak with her. On the House floor, she says this is no different than basing eligibility on a student's GPA or where they live.
You see, in sports, we have requirements, we have standards, and it is not based on feelings. And this is, we have these in order to participate, to ensure fairness for all.
But there are standards. Most state regulators have a policy allowing trans athletes to compete in high school, but several require students to change their birth certificates or even get surgery to be eligible. For collegiate sports, the NCAA requires trans women to be on testosterone suppressors for at least a year, the same requirement Idaho high schoolers have to meet. And transgender Olympic hopefuls have to keep their testosterone under a certain level to compete. But scientists are still studying this with mixed conclusions. A study published in the Journal of Medical Ethics last year suggested testosterone gives athletes an edge when it comes to elite-level competition.
There's a whole range of changes that occur primarily at puberty, but at different points, that give them a performance advantage in sport.
That's Lindley Anderson, one of the co-authors of the study and head of bioethics at University of Otago in New Zealand. She says the male sex hormone testosterone doesn't just promote bigger muscles. It also makes the male cardiovascular system more efficient, which helps with recovery. But Taryn Knox, another co-author of the study, says that doesn't mean trans women are cheating.
Well, they meet the guidelines as they are now. The problem is with the guidelines.
Instead, they say elite sports groups should blow up male and female divisions altogether. Knox says several new categories would be created, with athletes matched together based on things like height, weight, and testosterone levels.
Queer people have had a real history of being excluded, not just in sport, but in all parts of life. We don't want to be repeating that.
But what does an Olympic hopeful like Mosier think of that?
There's no way that every national governing body would get on board with that. And it's also not necessary.
He says transgender athletes should just be allowed to play on teams that align with their gender identity. That's being debated in real time. Three families of high school students in Connecticut are suing to block two trans girls from competing at track meets. One of the students who's suing won a state championship there last month. Meanwhile, one of the trans runners won third. At least 19 states are considering bills like Ehart's to block participation. But Mosier points out there's not widespread domination by transgender girls and women in sports.
We have had how many? Zero trans athletes have competed in the Olympics.
An opinion from the state attorney general's office called Ehart's bill constitutionally problematic for several reasons, including that it would treat transgender girls and women differently. Aside from whether it's legal or not, researchers say there needs to be more data on just how much of an advantage trans women have in sports, if any, over cisgendered women or those who were assigned female at birth. James Dawson, Boise State Public Radio News.
And our James Dawson is joining us live in studio to talk more about this. So, James, in your piece, you talked a lot about how different sports organizations do or don't include transgender athletes. And I want to get to that. But first, get us up to speed on where the bill is here in Idaho and what's going on.
Yeah, totally. So this bill would ban trans girls and women from playing on their respective sports teams. They could still, under this bill, you know, still compete as a male. You know, their sex assigned at birth. It doesn't touch trans men or boys in any way. But another sticking point of this bill is that anyone would be able to accuse a student of being transgender, and then they would have to prove it through a bunch of different medical tests, one of which would require a pelvic exam for girls and women. The Senate is trying to amend that out as being mandatory, but not anything else related to the bill. And we're still kind of waiting to see what happens in the Senate with that one.
Okay, so with that amendment to avoid that mandatory pelvic exam for girls and women, does that potentially take care of any legal concerns around this bill?
Not really. I mean, that was just one part of this 9-page attorney general's opinion that came out saying that it's constitutionally problematic. I mean, you have the state would have to prove that they would have a good reason to treat trans women differently than anyone else, which is a fairly high bar to meet under the 14th Amendment. It could also violate interstate commerce clause, which is a federal law, because it could force the NCAA, the NAIA, and these other kind of collegiate athletic associations to implement different rules in different parts of the country, right, which generally doesn't go over so well. The Supreme Court right now is taking up a case that is trying to figure out whether transgender people can file sex discrimination cases and whether or not their status is protected under that. We don't yet have an answer to that. But if that is, you know, kind of figured out in the courts and they do and they would have the ability to do that, then this case would be even harder to defend, I think.
Okay, so let's go back to these athletic policies. What kind of spectrum do we see with these in our country, but around the world?
I think you can think of it in kind of a three-bucket sort of situation, right? You have outright bans, you have some restrictions, but still allow transgender athletes to compete, and then you have full access, right? Not many outright bans that I've found, but advocates would say that some of the restrictions that are required for these, you know, at least theoretical permissive policies, right, are just too extreme. I mean, for example, some have to have surgery in order to be able to compete, which means, you know, you would have your testicles removed and therefore your body would not produce testosterone, right? Some require hormone therapy for at least a year before you're able to compete. That's like the NCAA, Idaho High School Activities Association. That's what we have right now. And then you have the Canadian Anti-Doping Agency that suggests, hey, there should be no limits on testosterone until each individual sport can prove that because you have an athlete has X amount of testosterone in their bloodstream, then it gives them a certain advantage.
Okay, so then we have some latest developments with the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, and other elite-level organizations and their rules, correct?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So you have the IOC in September, I believe, was kind of considering cutting their testosterone limits in half. Right now, you can only have, I believe the scientific word is 10 nanomoles per liter of blood. That's just the measurement that they use.
We'll go
right?
with it, sure.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
yeah. So you have to be on hormone therapy for at least a year. Again, we're talking about trans women. So you have to be on hormone therapy for a year, and then you have to keep your testosterone levels under this threshold to be eligible to compete. They were talking about cutting that in half to 5. Right now, that's kind of shelved. We don't know if that's going to be On the books for Tokyo. If Tokyo happens, right, with coronavirus, you have the World Athletics, which kind of oversees international track and running sports. They did cut their testosterone limits in half to that 5 nanomole per liter kind of limit. And that's for all women, not including trans women.
Oh, really?
So that's being challenged by the South African runner, Caster Semenya, who seems to be, she says she's intersex. Her body naturally produces higher testosterone.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right. And so they basically are telling her, you got to take testosterone suppressors, otherwise you can't compete. But even some intersex athletes, their bodies might naturally produce this testosterone, but then they also have this genetic mutation where there's a blocker that doesn't allow their body to even absorb that testosterone. And so that's, I mean,
so it may not even work if they take these blockers.
Exactly. So, you know, you have so many things to consider when you're kind of trying to craft these policies that it's just all over the map. But generally, they're pretty permissive across the world.
So you ended your story with scientists saying that they want more data on trans athletes before they make any definitive conclusions. So is that happening?
Yeah, so you have at least one study that I found that's just getting off the ground right now. You have Joanna Harper. She's this transgender athlete, but also this medical physicist who's trying to follow around 20 trans athletes, trying to compare their results on these different benchmark tests, you know, see like their oxygen absorption rates, their recovery rates, strength, all of these things, and then comparing them pre and post transition. This is going to take a while, you know, right? So we don't really know what the outcomes of those studies are going to be, but hopefully by then we'll have more data. For example, the study that I mentioned in this piece didn't really use transgender athlete data, right? It was just cisgender men and women who assigned their sexes at birth, right? And comparing those advantages to each other.
Gotcha.
And generally, men or those with higher testosterone levels have about a 10% physical advantage. And so that's what we're taking a look at.
I want to thank you for coming in and talking more about this today. We've been talking with James Dawson with Boise State Public Radio. If you'd like to see all of James' reporting on the legislature, make sure you go to our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. Up next, a deep dive on prisons in the Mountain West.